What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, December 4th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye. What's he hiding with his PSN profile,
Junior? You'll never know. You'll never know. I got a month left of being the new face.
Yeah, you're living it up by going out as a disgrace. You know what I mean? Show us your PSN profiles, Merc City 64. What are you hiding in your trophies?
I don't understand why people care.
You are the new place for video games. People love to watch your journey. They love to be, you're like Santa. They like to check in, see where you are in the world.
That's not what I signed up for. I just want to play games.
I'm pretty sure if you check the contract you signed, you said you would be down for people to do all sorts of things.
Wait, did they give you a contract?
No, I don't think I signed a contract.
They've been saying they're going to give me a list of job. Like,
they only pay me in cash. Also, never done
that. Hey, first off, do you want to pay taxes? Do you want to pay California taxes? No, then you enjoy the cash.
We pay all our taxes. Auditors out there, like, we're joking. You know what I mean?
IRS, if you're watching this, the only person you should investigate is Nick Scarpino, not his company. All right? That's all I'm going to say. You know what I mean? Everybody following? Wink? You see the wink?
Does he own part of this place?
Yeah.
Nick Scarpino?
That's why I said not his company. Just look into Nick Scarpino.
Scary to think Nick Scarpino owns probably like a third of this company. Yeah?
Is it even more scary that he's the guy in charge of your health benefits and getting you paid and doing all that stuff? I feel that's more terrifying than the fact that he owns some of the company. Because me and Tim just don't listen to him. We outvote him. It's fine.
Here's the thing. My trophies are set on private just because I think it was because of the review cycle. You know, I think we're supposed to do that. And I think what I learned during that cycle is that it's nice to have privacy. You know, it's nice to like be able to do my own thing and not have to worry about
a lot of people chasing you down.
Not at all. But now that they're like on private, everybody hit me up being like, Blessing, what are you hiding? Blessing, show us your trophies. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe no, maybe not. Maybe this is the new me. Maybe I'm just going to like leave my trophies off forever because.
See, it was one of the developer of Bugsnax hitting you up saying, show me your trophies. I think he doesn't believe you played the game. You know what I mean? That's one of the reasons you probably hit him.
That was the one that almost tipped me over. When he asked, I was like, all right, I do like Bugsnax. I do respect Philip, but no.
Wow. Wow.
Maybe in the future. We'll see.
We will see. I kind of
like testing this out, seeing how this goes. Because
see how much people care. This could be a great January 5th thermometer thing. If we raise $100,000, Blessing on privatizes trophies.
Just so we're clear, it wouldn't be a great thermometer thing. It would be a thermometer thing.
It would be a thermometer thing. Yeah, 100%, Kevin. That's actually more accurate. Speaking of accurate, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about Solid Snake being cast in the Metal Gear movie, BioWare losing two of its leads, and Persona 5 Scramble coming west, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you, of course, can write in, ask us your questions, give us your squad up requests, get the show ad-free, get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday, and basically make sure the company keeps spinning and Blessing keeps getting paid in cash. However, if you have no smackers to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can head over to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and watch us record the show live, just like Celtic Queen is, Travis Warren is, Petey Popoff is. They're watching, of course, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, and they're keeping us honest by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. You go there as you watch live. You tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, and we set the record straight for everybody watching the show later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Oh, did I mute it? I didn't mute it. I usually use this hand with the wedding ring to knock on the metal of this now blessing, but Portillo is sleeping in my lap, and he's got my hand pinned down.
When did this smackers thing begin?
A few weeks ago, Jen and I were watching something, and I just started laughing hysterically because I was thinking of I had a great tweet, and then I put out that people should go back to calling dollars smackers. Mm. And so I did that, and then a lot of people were like, I've never actually heard it called smackers. I'm like, well, that's on you for not knowing your history of smackers. And so now I'm trying to get smackers re-involved in our common.
Kevin, do you recall when people used to call dollars smackers?
I think it's catching on.
Yeah, I heard it like 3 weeks ago.
Okay. I'll buy it.
Yeah. Somebody's using it in Slack. They're using it in Slack.
I'm pretty sure when we come back in January and we have our anniversary stream, we start talking about raising money. We're going to call it Smackers. I think that's one of the big things we're changing.
I hope we really commit to that. I really hope we do.
I'm going to, Kevin. And if you do, guess what? That's like 2/5 of the company already committed to it. And the blessing you do it,
there's
that's
a lot more than there's a lot more in the company than that, just us. Five people.
Barrett. Then Tim. And we're done. housekeeping for you. If you didn't know, it is your final weekend without Cyberpunk 2077. Why not pop over and listen to the new episode of PS I Love You XOXO? It, of course, is our Cyberpunk 2077 Hopes and Fears episode. You can catch it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. While I'm remembering it, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your insane support on Spotify this year. Of course, if you saw the Spotify Wrapped stats were going around, Kinda Funny Podcast absolutely killed in the leisure category they toss us into. Thank you for that. Of course, our Kinda Funny podcasts are available everywhere, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you put in Kinda Funny. You can follow along and see all the different shows we do. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Upstart, DoorDash, Hims, and The Legend of Bumbo, available now on Google Play for $14.99, and Play Pass holders can play it for free. But I'll tell you about that later. And then also, Tim will tell you about The Legend of Bumbo later because he has a video. Right, Kevin?
Yep.
For now. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
Wow, that was like you're like the Sega guy. Give me in the same voice, say Sega.
Sega.
I tried too hard to do the Sega voice.
Yeah, you sound like Toad.
What you did there was you took the voice from the Sega, and then you did it with the Sega. Like, yeah. You got to pick a lane on that one. You got to pick a lane. You combine the lanes.
I don't think I can.
Try it again.
Oh, you
try
broke
it again,
him.
Kevin.
You broke him.
I can't. I'm scared. I'm scared.
You can't figure out which way he wants to go.
You have two Sega. Lanes to go in.
That was good. I like that.
Number one on the Roper Report. Oscar Isaacs. Is it Isaacs or Isaac? What did I put here?
You had an S there. Yeah, it's not there.
It is there, right? Oscar Isaacs. Oh, God. Oscar Isaacs is set to be Solid Snake in the Metal Gear Solid movie.
Wait, no, there's no S.
I took it. So somebody, I need to take it away, not add it.
Yeah, take it away.
You add an S that wasn't there.
Well,
in
I added
mind.
It when I asked you.
In your mind.
See, Kevin, when you say add an S, I thought you were saying I had to add
no,
an
no,
S.
No, I'm saying you added an
Oscar
S.
Oscar Isaac is going to be Solid Snake in the Metal Gear Solid movie. This is Justin Kroll at Deadline. Sony's long-awaited Metal Gear Solid adaptation finally looks to have gained some major momentum as sources tell Deadline that Oscar Isaac is attached to play Solid Snake in Jordan Vogt Roberts' Metal Gear Solid. The film is currently in development at Sony Pictures with Vogt Roberts on board to direct. The film is based, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no, that's the next paragraph, sorry. The film is based on the Metal Gear Solid video game created by Hideo Kojima and published by Konami. The script is written by Derek Connolly, one of my favorites. Avi Arad, right? No, I'm fucking that up even now. Got it. I'm falling apart here at the end of this. Avi Arad, right? Is that how you say it? From the Spider-Man movies way back in the day is producing. Peter Kang is the executive overseeing for the studio. The game was first launched on the PlayStation in 1987. Blessing, I'll read it again. The game was first launched on the PlayStation in 1987.
Yeah, no, that's way off. They're thinking are they having that confused with the original
96?
Metal Gear?
They're taking the information from the original Metal Gear. That's the Metal Gear Solid. They did a cursory Google. We're like, yeah.
When did the first Metal Gear come out? They found 1987. They're like, oh yeah, and that was a PlayStation game. And then they rolled off it.
I want to throw rocks at them. I don't actually, but you know, it's fun to make fun of them. Keep in mind that, this movie guy doesn't know anything about video games. Here I am, the video game guy, and I can't pronounce anyone's name that are like the most famous people working in movies. I'm like, I don't know. Has it got an S on it or not? The game was first launched on the PlayStation in 1987. It follows Snake, a soldier who infiltrates a nuclear weapons facility to neutralize the terrorist threat from Foxhound, a renegade special forces unit. The game has received acclaim on many fronts, but its storytelling that has a cinematic feeling always made it seem like a movie adaptation was inevitable. Given Isaac's extremely busy schedule, a production start date is still unknown, but his involvement makes this property a high priority for the studio going forward. As for Isaac, Metal Gear Solid could give him another major franchise, having already starred in the most recent Star Wars. Blessing, Adeoye Jr., you enjoy the Metal Gear.
I do.
What does it do for you?
I'm not one to ever really get excited about video game movie adaptations.
Sure.
Like I always come from the place of, this is probably going to be trash. This is probably not going to be good. Like, you don't have to adapt video games to movies.
It's a safe
video
place.
Games tell their
safe own. Place.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's a safe place to come from with the video game movies.
Oh yeah. And history has proven that, right? Like, we've gotten more bad video game movies than more good video game movies. Or at least, like, more bad video game movies than phenomenal video game movies. I can't really, if I sat down and try to think of a video game movie that was off the chain, right? That, like, penetrated on a level that everybody was like, oh yeah, this is a masterpiece, right? I can't really think of that. You know, you get your Detective Pikachus, you know, which are fun, which are good. You get your Sonic the Hedgehogs, which are fun, which are good. But even those are few and far between.
I didn't hate the latest Tomb Raider.
Okay.
With the girl from Ex Machina, right? Like, I thought that one was fine. It wasn't a great movie, but it wasn't a bad. I didn't think it was terrible. It wasn't.
Shit, she was the robot.
Yeah. What's her? Kevin, this is where I need your help. You know the current actor.
I feel like I might know it, but I don't want to.
Alicia Vanderkin.
Yeah,
that right?
That's it. You know it. That was it. That's exactly right.
That's a foul
somewhere
ball.
Somewhere it's like Viking.
Wow.
I got some of that information in there.
Alicia
some of
Vanderkin.
It,
you know? That's her name for sure.
I think her name might be Viking.
Vikander. Yeah.
We're like, oh man, this fucking moron doesn't know the difference between Metal Gear and Metal Gear Solid. I'm like, I don't know, Alicia Vanderkin, I don't know, Vanderbeek.
But saying all that, I am very excited for this Metal Gear Solid movie. I think this is a perfect casting. I wouldn't even thought of this as a casting, but
sure.
This fits.
Yeah, no, I mean, first off, it's crazy that you haven't thought about it. Of course, like, you know, Boss Logic's done art that's making its rounds. What was awesome, if you see it going around with all the stuff happening right now, the one and only Max Scoville from IGN.com. He did an interview for some movie Oscar Isaac was in with the guy from the motorcycle show. You know, remember that one? Sons of Anarchy. Charlie Huff, okay. Maybe is his name. This is gonna be great. And then he had Batman, Ben Affleck on the panel too. Anyways, he asked them something like, what movie would you want to be in? And Oscar Isaac says he'd want to be in Metal Gear and he'd want to be Snake. So that's fucking dope as hell.
Yeah. No, this is really exciting.
Sorry, go ahead.
I said, it's just really funny that you chose this episode to talk shit about that reporter, and now like you're naming every episode or every actor you can't. You know what I mean?
It's not that. I was like, it's easy to talk shit, but look at me, I can't do it either. So I was already pointing out my own flaws, and then I'm not naming every actor I can. All right, I'm like an eyewitness. All right,
just to be clear.
And I'm like, the guy from Sons of Anarchy. He was in that movie with a robot fought.
Craig, I said naming every actor you can't.
Can't, I know, yeah. And I'm saying I'm an eyewitness. I'm giving you the rough looks at who I know. I'm like, I think it's Charlie Huff, but I don't go, you know, just go to IMDb. Look at the movie where they all fought, the robots and the monsters. You know what I mean? I didn't see that either. It didn't look good. Pacific Rim. Like, you know what I mean? Go look at
that. That was a stinker, man. That was a bad movie.
Hey, you didn't like Pacific Rim?
No. Bad
the first
movie.
Oh,
yeah.
I like Pacific Rim.
I know you do, because you got terrible taste, turns out. You like stinkers.
Oh, no. Pacific Rim was fun. Pacific Rim was good. Craig, are you hyped for this movie? Like, where are you at?
Yeah, hell yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think it has a really good shot. Like, Jordan Vogt Roberts is a noted Metal Gear fan. And I've talked to him about the franchise before at, like, Dice and here in the occasional, like, DM or when Metal Gear was the games and stuff were going on. I believe he has a great head on his shoulders for what this movie should be. I feel like it can only benefit it that there is an actual fan at the helm of it. Will that pay off in the end? And how much does the studio fuck everything up? And yada, 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 yada. Who the fuck knows? But I know that he actually really does care for the source material. I know that he is close with Kojima. Like, we see photos of them all the time, and they talk, and he's talked to him about this film. You would hope that's a great first, or you'd hope that would be from the start, that's a good sign. And then, you know, to have Oscar Isaac on there, who I really did enjoy in those Star Wars movies. Like, you know, he's a good actor. He's cool. Mm-hmm. He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. I think he looks the part, and I think he's a good actor. I liked him in Ex Machina as well. Remember that movie?
Ex Machina?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
he
was
the,
no,
like,
was a good movie.
Smart guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He did that one scene where he was dancing. It was a really good scene in that movie.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Remember the
scene.
Redhead there is Huxley from Star Wars, too. He's a bad guy.
Yeah. General Hux.
Oh, my God. He's General Hux.
Yeah. See, Kevin, I might not be able to name all the names anymore of these up-and-comer young spring chicken actors, but I can tell you where they are and where they fit into the thing. Okay?
I'm excited for this. The thing that and this is more so a me thing than the actual movie thing, I can't picture how you would do a Metal Gear movie. Because Metal Gear Solid is so...
Did you play Metal Gear Solid?
Yeah, but like...
That's crazy. That's a silly thing to say, my dude.
The reason Metal Gear Solid works, though, is because it's a video game. Like, it has movie style to it. And like, Kojima obviously loves movies, and he takes a lot of those influences and injects them into Metal Gear Solid. But look at Metal Gear Solid, and I think the thing that makes that game special is the fact that you have the Psycho Mantis stuff, right, where he's breaking the fourth wall and reading your memory card. You have like the portions where like you're going through and they're like, oh, I need the code that's on the back of the CD, and you're trying to figure that out, and then you realize that he's talking about the actual back of the actual disc box.
All that removed Metal Gear Special. You don't need all the tricks and little things they did.
I don't know. Like, I for me, that's what makes Metal Gear. Like, I like the story, I like the gameplay and all the other stuff, but I feel like you can't have Metal Gear Solid without those quirky, Kojima-esque, weird fourth wall breaking moments.
I made the mistake of glancing at the chat, and it got me. My dog Nick 96 says, for a week and a half, I thought his name was General Hugs. General Hugs, destroy them. You got it. I agree with you that made it very special for the time, and vibrating the controller and reading your memory card and yada, 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 the breaking the fourth wall. Yes, that's all awesome. But I think if you strip that stuff away, you're left with just a really cool espionage mission, where I think even if you just open it in the same way, where you have this fucking orchestral score and Oscar Isaac is swimming under the water, right, coming in silently, takes out all these guards, and this is all happening so fast, because that's always the thing, right? Video games play everything out. This is a way more, you know, super fast takedown style of everybody getting done, and then he drops down and he does the thing of like, this is Snake, Colonel, I'm in. And he's like, it's just like he drops, does it, Metal Gear Solid title or whatever, as he goes up the elevator as usual, and we get the brief of what's going on. I'm sure there'll be way more than that, and they won't open it like that.
Great, is that
hear
enough,
me out,
though?
Hear me out, Greg. Otacon, Ben Schwartz. Mm-hmm. Different take on it. Different take. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, Ben Schwartz is funny. I like him a lot.
I can see it, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think, is that enough? Like, if we get a Metal Gear Solid movie that is a serious espionage action movie, and it does all that stuff very well, but it doesn't have the quirkiness of Metal Gear, like, do you think that ends up sticking with people, or that ends up feeling ends up capturing actual Metal Gear Solid? Because I think for me, Metal Gear Solid is the quirkiness. Metal Gear Solid is, like, even when you hear Snake talking on the calls, right? Like, yeah, like the, like all that weirdness that is Metal Gear.
Where'd you get a pack of cigarettes? I smuggled them in.
Or like Metal Gear Solid 3, where every time you save, you're getting a story about some film that Kojima likes. Like, I feel like without that stuff, you lose all the personality that makes Metal Gear.
Oh,
Metal Gear.
Dude,
like,
no way. But
it's just an action film, which is cool and fun, but I don't think that captures Metal Gear Solid.
I mean, you're saying you're going to lose all the quirkiness. I don't think you're going to lose you're going to lose some of it. Yes. You're not going to have the weird girly posters like that Snake's like zooming in and out of, and I guess that's Metal Gear 2.
You know what I'm talking about. You might.
You're not going to have that. You're not going to have like rubber ducks or whatever floating around. You're not going to, you know, I'm sure they'll some way have a wolf piss on a box for us or whatever. But like, I think when you get down to it, think about how colorful and varied the team you're going to go up against is. You know what I mean? Having Psycho Mantis, Vulcan, Raven, like Liquid in general, just how over the top he is. I think like when you have, when, even if you're, I know nothing about the film, obviously. I don't know what's calling me and talking to me about it. But I feel like if you have the action stylings of like a Jason Bourne, like with that, because that's how I see the frenetic him coming through, throwing people down, you know, doing the throws over his body and shit like that. It all happens super fast. Yes, exactly. Thank you. And then all of a sudden, like when you get to that first thing where Psycho Mantis is fucking levitating and making Meryl walk around and put a gun to her head and all this shit, like I really feel like people, if you came in thinking it's just a spy action movie, be like, what the fuck is going on, right? And then to have it be like, yeah, Vulcan Raven, to have it be DARPA chief who turns out to be Decoy Octopus, and like all these twists and turns, fucking Revolver Ocelot there spinning it up, getting his hand, when fucking Gray Fox comes out of nowhere, there's blood all over the hallway, they shoot that like horror.
Can you pull all that off in a live action movie, like in a live action big budget action movie? Like, will they be able, because I think part of what makes all that stuff work is, again, like it being a video game and it being this movie style thing, but also very anime in terms of, hey, this is over the top, this is weird, like these people have superpowers and we're able to convey this because we're working within the confines of a video game. Once that stuff goes live action, can you fit Revolver Ocelot in the same movie as a Psycho Mantis, in the same movie as was it Sniper Wolf? Like,
yeah,
does that stuff fit together cohesively in a live action sense in a way that makes sense and is in a way that doesn't come off as, oh yeah, this is like a weird adaptation because they're taking off more than they can make, more than they can chew?
I think it does. I think the differences where we are on the different sides of the fences here on the different, you know, sides of the chasm are that I think you are envisioning it trying to be as close to the source material as possible, whereas I'm seeing it be more painted with broad strokes of it. Like, I don't think Snake's first, you know, when he goes to save DARP, or not even DARP chief, who is like the FBI, the guy who looks like fucking Churchill, who's strapped up to the thing with all the strings, and then like you have to fight Revolver in that like room, remember, as he's running around, you have to run around and try to get him and shoot. Like, that fight doesn't look like that. You come in and Revolver's already torturing him, trying to get information to get you the next fucking key card or whatever. And you know, Oscar infiltrates. They have a quick, like, you know, literally 3 second scuffle where he shoots something and gets away or whatever. And then it's like he takes care of the guy he's supposed to exfil that tells him more and moves it on that way. Mm-hmm. I think it could work. It's obviously a huge,
it's a big challenge.
Uphill climb. Uphill climb.
And I'm very excited for it because I think all of the moves they've been making so far have been the right moves. And getting Oscar Isaac to star as Snake, that is a big get, which tells me that they are taking this thing seriously or they're trying to make it as big as possible. And so I'm excited for it. I'm very curious about it and curious to see how they pull it off. But it is going to be a big challenge trying to portray this huge, nonsensical action story. And if they're able to pull it off, it's going to be magnificent because Metal Gear Solid is magnificent.
What I find interesting about it is, you know, we always say, oh man, no, not always, but a lot of people always say, oh man, why can't video games be more like movies? Movies tell you there, as soon as something like this happens, as soon as the scripts get optioned, as soon as, and then, you know, games, they keep it all so close to the vest till 6 months out, a year out, whatever it is, depending on who you're talking about, Duke Nukem. But my main question, whenever I hear video game movie news, is this actually going to happen? Oscar Isaac has been signed, or is going, like, the sources say he's going to be Snake in it, right? Deadline's article continues with this. Even as the industry slowly gets back into production due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Isaac has been busy setting his future slate in recent months. He is set to star in HBO's Scenes from a Marriage opposite Jessica Chastain, followed by playing the title role in Marvel's Moon Knight for Disney+. Isaac will next be seen in the much-anticipated reboot of Dune and Paul Schrader's The Card Counter. He is also set to star in and produce the adaptation of Brian K. Vaughan's Ex Machina comic retitled The Great Machine and star in Ben Levinson's Francis and the Godfather alongside Jake Gyllenhaal. That's a lot of shit going on. And I don't know shit about being an actor, obviously, or in working in Hollywood. That sounds like a lot of stuff already signed up for. Now, granted, what if those projects fall through or this, that, and the other? What does COVID do to any of this? But like, when do they actually start shooting the Metal Gear movie? When does that actually happen and we actually see a result for it? Think about how long the first time we heard the Uncharted movie was going to happen with Marky Mark. And now here we are, finally, it looks like a Game Awards getting a trailer from Tom Holland's version of it, which is not at all what it was originally announced as.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that it'll come out. I feel like compared to the Uncharted movie, the updates for that always seem to be a little bit more dire over the years, where it's like every year it's like, oh, somebody else has left the project. Okay, no, it's still coming out and it's going to be a prequel. Tom Holland's on it. And like those news updates felt more spread apart than this Metal Gear Solid stuff. This Metal Gear Solid movie feels like it's at least being developed on a consistent basis. Like they're coming out with updates on it that feel somewhat consistent, but also like I agree with you that like it, in terms of the grand scope of movies and what to expect, Metal Gear Solid I feel like it's probably way down on the list for Oscar Isaac in terms of priority and in terms of like booking and all that stuff. Like I'm sure that Metal Gear Solid it's gonna happen, but I'm not gonna hope for it super soon. Like this is a 2021 or 2022 movie even.
I'm interested to see how it shakes out and see what it goes. And I know sometimes you attach actors to it to actually get people excited to get the movie actually moving. So maybe that's what's going on. But we shall see when the Metal Gear Solid movie finally comes out. In the chat, Nanobiologist writes in and says, Oscar Isaac said he wanted to be in Metal Gear Solid during IGN's interview with the cast of Netflix's Triple Frontier. Blessing.
Is that the movie with like all the the action? That
was another
people?
Stinker that nobody watched. It was a, you know what I mean?
Was that Batman in that?
I said that already. Yeah, Ben Affleck.
Okay. I remember seeing that on Netflix and not watching it.
I don't even remember hearing this at all.
Yeah.
I think
it was like on the front page of Netflix for like a week. And I remember like every time I opened up Netflix, I was like, oh, that looks like a movie. And then I just never watched it. And then I heard bad things.
I feel like the trailer that would autoplay was terrible.
Because they're all in a helicopter. Right? That's all I remember. I remember them all being in a helicopter. And then them flying over some place where action would take place. And I remember being like, okay, this looks like Action Movie the Movie. And I will pass for now.
No, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see
I
that.
Want to see Metal Gear Solid 3 movie. And like style it like James Bond. A Metal Gear Solid 3 movie, I would be in for.
Well, then get behind Metal Gear Solid 1 movie and let us get there. Because if they're not fucking filming this thing for 3 years, Oscar Isaac's going to be 95 by the time we get to filming 3.
Why do you guys think that it's going to be Metal Gear Solid 1? Did anybody say that?
I think they might have said that somewhere.
They said in the article, Sony's long-awaited Metal Gear Solid adaptation looks to be.
Yeah, but
Jordan Vogt Roberts hasn't been exactly quiet about this. Concept art he's all shown is Ben Shadow Moses and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jordan Vogt Roberts. Metal Gear concept. What do they call it? Okay, there it is. I was like, it didn't start, immediately pop up. Yeah, Kotaku has one from 2018. Check out some concept art from the Metal Gear Solid movie. Yeah, and so this is all Metal Gear Solid 1.
Can you imagine Metal Gear Solid 2 movie? Like, that's going to be...
We're going to get there, brother.
God.
It's wild because that movie is probably going to have like a lot of current commentary in it, and I'm very excited because Metal Gear Solid 2 ends up being about misinformation. Yeah, and the Lolly Lule Low and like corruption within politics and all this stuff. And like all stuff that is, it was of course relevant at the time, but I think way more relevant now with how the internet is gone and with how fake news is gone and all that stuff. Like Metal Gear Solid 2 coming out in the 2020s. Oh my God, that has potential to be great.
Number 2 on the Roper Report, 28 minutes into the show, which means it's a good show already. Casey Hudson and Mark Dara. Leave BioWare. This is Jonathan Dornbush at IGN.com. EA has announced that Casey Hudson, the general manager of BioWare, and Mark Dara, the executive producer of the upcoming Dragon Age, will be departing the company. All currently ongoing projects, including Anthem Next, The Next Dragon Age, and The Mass Effect, The Legendary Edition, remasters among them, will continue as planned despite leadership shifts. Samantha Ryan will continue to oversee the studio, while Christian Daly, who joined BioWare from Blizzard, will now be leading the Dragon Age project as executive producer, with Matthew Goldman remaining as creative director on the project. And the Mass Effect Collection will continue to be led by Mike Gamble, as that team remains, quote, hard at work on the future of that franchise. This marks Hudson's second departure from BioWare, after he first left the studio in 2014 and announced a new position at Microsoft in 2015. Hudson rejoined BioWare in 2017 when then GM Aaron Flynn stepped down. While the company searches for a new GM, Gary McKay, the senior director of development operations, will act as studio GM. Quote, they will always be an important part of the studio's history. We appreciate their many contributions, and we look forward to seeing what they'll each do next. Laura Mele, chief studios officer from EA, said in a statement announcing the studio's departure. Quote, it's not an easy decision to make, and big changes like this always come with a certain degree of sadness. I will miss being able to work every day with our inspiring developers on the biggest and most exciting projects I can imagine. But I also know that this is a good time for a change for both myself and BioWare, Hudson said in a post explaining his departure. It's profound and humbling to look back on a decades-long career and think about the things we've achieved together. It's hard to make the decision to move on, but I'm excited about what's next for all of us, end quote. Dara also wrote about the decision to leave, saying, quote, this has been a very difficult decision for me. The team of amazing developers on Dragon Age make my life fuller and better. They have taught me so much, but the strength of the team is also what makes this possible. I know that Dragon Age won't just survive without me. It will thrive, end quote. And actually, while we were live, blessing Eddie Oye Jr., the one and only Jeff Keighley tweeted, don't miss a special look at the next Dragon Age from BioWare during the Game Awards next Thursday.
Uh-oh. As we
hurtle towards the Game Awards blessing. What, Greg, is your reaction to Casey and Mark leaving?
it seems like not good news for BioWare for mm-hmm. where they're at as a company. Like this last generation hasn't been great for them when you look at Mass Effect Andromeda and you look at Anthem. And for what seems to be a very critical time for them, you know, with the development of a new Dragon Age, them trying to seemingly still bring back Anthem, which now that we're in December 2020, I'm starting to get doubtful of, because I would have thought we would have heard about Anthem Next by now, but it seems like
they said something recently, right? Like in terms of still working on it, obviously, yada yada yada. Yeah. Like they're not being dead quiet about it.
Yeah, they're not dead quiet, but I think even if I remember correctly, even the update they gave wasn't anything substantial. It was just hey, we're still working on this thing, just so you know. But between that, between Mass Effect being where it's at, and I know people are excited about Legendary Edition, but even still, like, they're not. BioWare is in a place where they really, really need wins, and they really need vision, and they really need people who are proven to guide them toward those things. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. with two big names leaving BioWare right now, that leaves me kind of worried. And again, like, you know, who knows what the circumstances are? Like, they both of these people have been at BioWare forever. I know Casey Hudson came again like 3 years ago, and now is leaving again, which, you know, whatever's going on is going on. But like, yeah, it seems like a weird time to be leaving BioWare, where they have multiple projects that are critical for them that need vision.
Boris in 00 writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can. It says, good morning, Greg and Blessing. Yesterday, Casey left BioWare for the second time, and to me, that is concerning for the state of the studio. BioWare, since Casey has been back, has released Anthem and nothing else. While personally, I don't think Casey could have saved Anthem, he did command respect from BioWare fans as a whole. But with him and Mark leaving, is this just a sign that the studio is at a turning point? While I personally have felt BioWare being a shadow of their former self, can new blood bring a new renaissance to the studio? Or do they just get sick of EA's bullshit and leaving the studio is just another nail in the slowly forming coffin of BioWare? Interesting question, that anything we do is going to be conjecture, which is what we do on the show. But I think it's worth pointing out that I think there's a million different ways this could have gone. It is not good news to see them leave, in my opinion. I think the fact that BioWare can't catch a break, you know, you're talking about BioWare getting good news. And even for Boris in here, talking about like new blood and turning point, like you thought the turning point was Andromeda coming out and being panned, and then Casey coming back on and being like, all right, cool, we're going to write the ship. BioWare is going to be what BioWare is going to be. But then obviously Anthem does not deliver in any way, shape, or form. You know, we've been waiting forever for something for that game, waiting forever for their next thing here, waiting for Dragon Age. And so even if you then look at Dragon Age and go, okay, cool, that's going to be the thing that saves us. Let's see what we get on Thursday, obviously, to see Mark leave right now, it is this question of like, what is going on over there? And yeah, is it EA being difficult to work with? Is it EA walking in and being like, hey, yo, this shit sucks, like you guys can't, I mean, like obviously we always want, or yeah, the internet always wants to be like, the developers are great, clearly EA fucking sucks, and that probably is the case, maybe is the case, who fucking knows? But like, it could also be that like they walk in and like, man, you are off track on all these projects, and you are BioWare, you can't miss again. Like, we need to figure this out. And then there's the friction and people pull away from it.
Yeah. Like, I think it could be either or, these things that Boris is pointing out, right? Whether it is, hey, new blood coming in and revitalizing things, or them leaving because of EA's bullshit and them that relationship between BioWare and EA just not working out. Either way, like, I like the idea of bringing in new blood to, like, freshen things up and make things looking into the future and trying to bring things up to status in terms of, hey, yeah, these folks have been working at BioWare forever. They've been making these games, but these games still live in the past, whatever the argument may be. You know, I like the idea of bringing in new people, but it feels like a weird time for that, right? Like, unless you're bringing in new people that you are really trusting and that have proven themselves and seem like they can either raise projects from the dead in regards to Anthem, or create new life in terms of Dragon Age and make the next game really stand out in the ways that previous ones have. Either way, it again feels weird when you have these games that are in the clip, right? When you have Dragon Age, which is already in development, people are excited for it. Apparently, it's getting a new trailer next week. Like, it seems like such a weird time for big names to leave when you're halfway through multiple projects.
And that's the thing, right? I think whenever you want to look at somebody leaving in a way that is like all thumbs up and everything's great, I always point out Jack Trenton, right? Where like he left and guess what? He bounced because guess what? They fucking crushed the launch of the PlayStation 4. The PlayStation 4 was destroyed everything, right? And when you talk to Jack about it, it was always like, what do I do from here? Like, I've been there forever. I want a new challenge. And like, I'm going out on a high note. I guess that's more than anything about what it is. It's going out on the high note of it. Whereas to go out right now, especially Casey, who, and again, I know Casey casually from conversations and interviews and years of that. But like, when Casey came back, so many BioWare fans, enlapsed BioWare fans, were like, oh my God, this is it. This is the salvation. This will get them back to where they want to be. And BioWare, inarguably, is not back to where BioWare fans, or the company, I would assume, wants to be. The BioWare name does not mean what it used to mean when we're talking about Mass Effect and even Jade Empire.
Yeah, and when this news came out yesterday, I saw so many people who are fans of BioWare going, oh, fuck. Like, oh, shit. Like, really? Like, we're losing Casey. We're losing these people. Mm-hmm. And that's not a place where you want to be as a company, right? Where it feels like the one or two saviors you had, right, are piecing out. Because then, like, again, like, I don't want to write it off as like BioWare can't come back and restore their former glory. But I'm not hopeful at this point. Like, with them losing big people, and with them being BioWare, right? With them being the company that put out the Mass Effect trilogy and Dragon Age, right? And games that have huge fan bases and passionate fan bases and games that defined a generation, for them this generation to be stumbling so hard and seeming not to have any sort of answer to that, we'll see with the next Dragon Age. But with them being in the place where they are right now, where they seem not to have an answer, I don't know if they can get back to what they were at this point.
Yeah, especially you talk about Dragon Age, but it's Anthem hanging over their head too, right? Yeah. Like, Anthem being such a punchline and such an example of a game that, you know, games as a service that launched with no roadmap, fell apart, and now they're all trying to fix it. And so you'll have to wait and see. But I mean, obviously, yeah, I want them to. I want them to come back. I want them to crush it. You know, I love fucking KOTOR. I'd love to see that kind of BioWare and how much I loved Mass Effect, you know, not number three, notwithstanding, I guess, or you know what I mean? The problems everybody had with all the different ones, notwithstanding, like, what an amazing accomplishment those three games were. Like, you want to see them get back to that. So
what do you think are the chances they do come back with whatever Anthem next is, and it ends up being this comeback story for them? Because I remember having this conversation. I think we had this conversation a little bit toward the beginning of the year, and I asked you the question, which game do you think will have a comeback between Fallout 76 and Anthem? And I think your answer was Fallout 76, and I was going with Anthem off the reasoning that when Anthem first came out, I remember playing the beta and being like, okay, there's something fun here. Like,
no, the gameplay is fun, yeah.
Yeah, the gameplay is fun. I liked flying around in those Iron Man suits. I liked the action. I liked how it looked aesthetically, right? And like the main issues with that game involved it just lacking content and issues with how it ran also.
Right, loads and being able to go back to the hangar and all that shit.
Yeah.
I don't think the odds are good for Anthem. Like, I don't think the odds are good for Anthem to have a redemption story, because Anthem, I don't even think is like, No Man's Sky is the game, right? There's two games we point out. We point out No Man's Sky and we point out Final Fantasy XIV. Anthem is in the Final Fantasy 14 camp, IMO, where like from the ground up, we got to re-fucking do this game. Like, basically, right? Like, the gameplay is fun, but nobody liked basically anything else that revolved around it. Whereas No Man's Sky was like, the gameplay is fun and we love the worlds and all these things and going over there, but like, there's not enough content. And where was this thing you promised? Yada, yada. That was about adding things back into it to make it great. Whereas I think Anthem needs to be totally reworked from the ground up kind of thing, and maybe that's what they're doing with Anthem next, and I think it's you know, they're working
on whatever. With how long it's been, because that game came out in what, 2019, beginning of 2019, 2018,
I think, was, right?
Has it been long?
I don't even remember. Fuck, when was Anthem?
Yeah, but either way, it's been so long since the launch of that game, whether it was beginning 2019 or beginning 2018.
February 22nd, 2019.
Okay, there you go. Okay. So yeah, we're about to reach 2 years
Yeah,
of that game being out, and so like, at that point, like it's got to be a ground up kind of thing.
But at that point, like, does anybody not care isn't the right word, but like, with everything like, else we're playing and we're invested in, like, is that going to be like, to be pulled back to this game that is a punching bag, that is a punchline, that is a joke, like, how good does that have to be? Let alone the fact that if you're a BioWare fan, you're waiting for Dragon Age, right? You're probably playing Cyberpunk. You're getting the things you wanted, right? That was the thing of like, BioWare was known for single player RPGs, really deep shit, right? CD Projekt Red ate their lunch in these last years for it. So like, yeah. Are you getting that elsewhere now? Are you getting those kind of games somewhere else so that even if they come back and they're like, no, it's way more single player RPG than ever before, but there are still MMO elements. Just like, I'm just not that kind of person, or multiplayer elements. I'm not that kind of person. I don't want to do that. And then even if you are, like, is there enough of a, you know, I don't even know, like shock paddles to zap everybody in the industry back to paying attention and get back in there? Now, granted, I mean, what works to their benefit is that we all have it. Like a lot of people, you know what I mean? Like, I shouldn't say we all, but a lot of people have Anthem. Like, it's it's a game you already own. So if they are like, guess what? PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X edition, that is Anthem next and is crazy and people love it. Maybe it is, but I don't know. Like,
maybe
the
move is to go free to play.
Yeah. And I enjoyed playing Anthem at the time for what it was. Like, I thought it wasn't obviously fully baked by any stretch of the imagination, but I enjoyed the loop and I had fun playing it for a couple weeks or whatever. But it was like, if you came back like Anthem Next is here, I'm like, all right, cool. But I'm playing Fortnite. Like, I don't even know what you have to say or show me to make me go, oh fuck, yes, I need to play this. Mm. So we'll see. Number three on the Roper Report, Persona 5 Strikers is coming west. This is tipped off to me by Wario64. It looks like Sega Atlas published a trailer by accident. They unlisted a video, but everybody found it, revealing it. February 23rd, 2021 will be the release date for Persona 5 Strikers. It's coming to PlayStation 4, Switch, and Steam. The trailer Wario had put up had been obviously taken down. There's still unlisted links you can go around and find. Lots of screenshots of it. Got to watch it this morning. Looks cool. Blessing, are you in?
Oh, I'm totally in. I played the Japanese demo, and so I had no idea what was going on, but I really liked the action of it. Like, yeah. It seems to straight up capture the art style and all the stuff that made Persona 5 stylistically amazing. Strikers seem to capture all of that in a way that, for me, is surprising, because it is a Musou game, right? It is this big action game, and it's something entirely different, but when you actually play the combat, like, they do such a good job of translating the actual combat system from Persona 5 into the combat system of this. Yeah, and like really smart and cool ways where you are doing the same kind of like, you know, elemental effects, and you are doing the baton pass stuff. Like, they capture that stuff super well, and the story seems like it's going to be really cool. Like, it's basically a sequel, like another sequel to Persona 5, right? If you want to count Persona 5 Royal as like a pseudo sequel in a sense. You know, they're piggybacking off of that story. Seems like it's going to be really substantial. Seems like it's really going to be good. I am very excited about it.
A lot of people are freaking out. But like I said, this all comes from a leaked trailer. And again, not somebody hacked it. They just accidentally published it. Mitch Krasen writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, with Persona 5 Strikers, I have an inside baseball question. When a slip up like this happens, what goes down in the company itself? Clearly someone is getting chewed out, but it's just a single mistake, albeit a big one. Also for Greg, isn't this time between and before Cyberpunk a perfect time to revisit your Persona 5 notes and continue that? Just saying. No, Mitch, it's not getting geared up to go play however many hundred of hours of Cyberpunk. It's not a great idea to be like, well, I'll put in 5 hours of Persona 5 Royal and read my notes and stuff like that. It's more of a time for Fortnite and grinding with Kevin. Ain't that right, Kevin?
Yeah.
In terms of what's going on inside baseball with the trailer, who knows? Here's what I'll tell you right now is that depends company by company. Is this this person's first mistake? Is it something that got scheduled? Was it somebody said the wrong thing? There's a million different ways I go. Who the fuck knows? What I can guarantee you happened was a very big apology from Sega Atlas to Jeff Keighley, because this had to have been a Game Awards thing. Game Awards trailer. And it might still be, obviously, like, he's playing a show and built around it. And like, all right, well, we're this close. And I saw the chat right here as we said this. For me personally, this news is like, oh, you all saw this happen last night and this morning, right? And then I saw the chat freak out that they hadn't seen it. So there's still a whole bunch of people who have not seen this trailer. But for sure, there was either, I bet it was, knowing how Jeff is, I bet Jeff is the first person who hit them up. And then they came back and were like, we're so sorry, and yada, yada. But like, this is the, you know, this is our industry. You saw it all week long with Kratos leaking in Fortnite, Master Chief leaking in Fortnite. Like, no, there's too many fucking balls
in play. Wait, did Master Chief leak in Fortnite?
Yeah, yesterday. Thanks for watching the show.
Oh, I didn't realize it was I was catching up on the show. I was listening to Wednesday's episode this morning. After this, I'll listen to Thursday's episode. I catch up. That's really cool.
God, I hope he's lying. I hope you're lying. I hope you're not doing.
I wanted to listen to both episodes this morning, but I got I ended up playing Fortnite with Joey and Barrett, and it was a great time.
Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames Fortnite mornings.
I forgot what it was that you in the Wednesday episode at the beginning, you're talking about how me and Imran during the post show didn't know that Eddie Vedder did the last
song. If I ever were to lose you, I'd surely why would we know that? Lose. How would you not know that? It is the narrative backbone to The Last of Us Part 2.
I don't know who Eddie Vedder is. Dude. I know he's like, what, in Pearl Jam?
Why are we dragging this up again? Why is it that I don't know who Cactus Jack is? I don't know who Cactus Jack is in the musical world. That's a big deal. You don't know Eddie Vedder. I'm supposed to like let it go.
Because Cactus Jack is Cactus Jack. He's Travis Scott. He's made Pickle Mode. I was in the shower this morning. I had you guys doing the podcast. And like as I'm like lathering myself with soap, I hear my name come up because I don't know who Eddie Vedder is. Because I want you to know the exact situation I was in, all right? I want you to know the exact state I was in when I got upset. I was in the shower, lathered up, and I was very upset about it. Very mad. Very upset.
Narrative backbone.
You're dragging my name through the mud, and you don't know who Travis Scott is.
You finished the fucking game.
But isn't Travis Scott, like, new? Like, hasn't he been doing music for, like,
2 years? He's been doing music for, like, 10 years.
You add the Pearl Jam song to your Spotify. You know what I mean? You say you listen to the podcast. You listen to the spoiler cast I did with all of Naughty Dog.
I did not do that.
We talk about it there. And you're the new face of video games, you know? Sickens me sometimes. Number 4 on the Roper Report. Actually, you know what? We're deep in the show. Guess what, everybody? You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can be part of the show like so many of our readers have been so far with their questions, comments, concerns, squad up requests, and more. You can be a Patreon producer. You can get the show with the exclusive post show we do each and every day. But most importantly for right now, you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, let's hear from our sponsors. Kevin, are you ready with the first video?
Yep.
The Legend of Bumbo, the prequel to The Binding of Isaac, is available now on Android devices. The cardboard Bumbo the Brave fights all things grotesque in this distinctive spin on a match four puzzle game co-created by Edmund McMillan, who you probably know as the guy behind Binding of Isaac and Super Meat Boy, has partnered with artist/programmer James Interactive to bring you The Legend of Bumbo. You get to play as one of many Bumbos, each with its own unique abilities as they smash, bash, and splash their way through a variety of cardboard monstrosities, giant bosses, and dark personal urges. There's some amazing music in this game by Ridiculon. If you haven't heard this, it's dope. The puzzle-based deck-building roguelike prequel to The Binding of Isaac features a cardboard coin-hoarding character, Bumbo the Brave. When Bumbo's only coin is stolen by a mysterious entity and pulled down into the sewer, Bumbo finds himself facing droves of deranged enemies, lost children, his fears, and eventually the beast that stole his beloved coin. It's a lot. The match four puzzle system is presented with an overarching theme of greed and a bit of toilet humor. There's lots of unlockables and a lot of poop jokes, which, you know what? None of us are above. We might want to pretend we are, but I know from personal experience, we are not. Mm-mm. Legend of Bumbo, available now on Google Play for $14.99, and Play Pass holders get it for free.
Thanks, Tim. Our next sponsor is Upstart. There's a lot of economic chatter right now, but the state of the market, is it recovering? How long will it take? Have you seen the worst of it? But if you're struggling to pay off high interest credit card debt, you can't wait for those answers. You need to take action. Now with Upstart, there's actually something you can do today to help fight off high interest credit card debt. Upstart is the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part? If your loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot and hurry to upstart.com/kfgames to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes just a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kfgames. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. Again, upstart.com/KFGames. Up next is DoorDash. Between a never-ending laundry cycle and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings the food you're craving right now right to you. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and I almost said Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. Jen and I did this last night. She wanted Indian food, and so we did it. And I had a bunch of wings and naan. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to help keep communities they operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code GAMES. That's $5 off your and first zero delivery orders on your first order. Why is it like that, Blessing? When you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code GAMES. Don't forget that. GAMES, $5 off. Order with DoorDash. And finally, it's Hims. 4hims.com is all about men's wellness. We all know the story. Andy and Nick wanted to maintain their own wellness, so they looked at Hims for their hair. They wanted to keep it beautiful, healthy, and full. We can confirm it's beautiful, healthy, and full. Through Hims, you can also get prescription medication that treats erectile dysfunction. Real science, real solutions. This could cost hundreds of smackers if you went through a doctor or pharmacy. Not so with Hims. Hims makes it simple and affordable. No embarrassing conversations, no expensive appointments. Just answer a few questions online about your medical history, and a provider will confidentially review. If approved, your medication is shipped directly to your door in discreet packaging, and shipping is free. No more searching online for answers to questions about erectile dysfunction or sexual wellness. Just go to your Hims account and ask a medical professional you trust. Try Hims today by starting out with a free online visit. Go to 4hims.com/funnygames for your free visit. That's 4hims.com/funnygames, forhims.com/funnygames. Prescription products are subject to medical provider approval and will require an online consultation with a medical provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See the website for full details and safety information. Remember, that's 4hims.com/funnygames. Blessing, number four on the Roper Report, Sony spent three times what Xbox did for launch advertising for their new consoles. This is Elise Liffering over at Ad Age. During this busy holiday season, both Sony's PlayStation and Microsoft's Xbox new video game consoles, the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, respectively, continue to sell out as soon as retailers fill their shelves. While the competition between the two consoles is stiff, so far the PS5 is outselling the Series X internationally in markets like Japan, and analysts are predicting the new PlayStation will outsell the new Xbox over time like it has in the past. Ad spend could be a large reason for why sales are falling in Sony's favor. It's difficult, of course, to directly link ad spend with sales at this early period, especially since both companies could be intentionally limiting their products in the marketplace. But based on ad spend alone, Sony's PS5 has already soared over its rival. Sony spent three times as much on ads as Microsoft did in the month ahead, and immediately following their console launches. The PS5 launched on November 12th and the Series X on November 10th. From October 19th to November 15th, Sony spent $15 million on ads for its PS5, while Microsoft spent about $5 million smackers on ads for the Xbox Series X, according to a new report from advertising and sales intelligence platform Media Radar, which analyzed ad spend across print, TV, and digital. The report found that Sony spent about $7.3 million up to the day of launch, while Microsoft spent about $3 million. Although competitor Nintendo did not release a new console, the report found that it too increased its ad spend. From November 2nd to November 15th, Nintendo's ad spend was 138% higher than the previous 2 weeks.
Huh.
Blessing, what do you take away from this? It's fun to read something from an ad site that doesn't truly understand, I think, where games are right now or whatever. Because like these things are going to sell out no matter what, like, you know, however many ads. But it is interesting, I think, to extrapolate back. You and I have talked about how PlayStation 5 seems to be dominating the conversation, where it is everybody talking about PlayStation 5. It feels like both, and we mean obviously people in our circles are talking about both things, but in terms of what you're seeing on your TikToks, what I'm seeing from my friends who are hitting me up asking questions about the new consoles, it's all PS5, and I wonder how much of that is because of advertising.
Yeah, no, I do wonder when they mentioned in the article that ad spend could be a large reason why sales are falling in Sony's favor, right? Like my immediate inclination was to go, well, I think sales are falling to Sony's favor because they already have the built-in audience that are probably transitioning from the PS4 to the PS5, but then also the promise of software is, I think, they're more on the Sony side than on the Microsoft side.
Sure.
But when we talk about ads and we talk about conversation, we talk about mindshare and the wide public consciousness, right, that goes beyond us who are tuned into the video game space. Yeah, I could see that. Like, I could see the fact that people are talking about the PlayStation 5 as a bigger, as an upgrade console over the Xbox Series X because it is a more tangible thing. Like, I wonder if there is a specific reason why Microsoft didn't have more ad spend. And I wonder if that kind of goes back to the whole we don't believe in generations thing, right? And they're treating it as a more incremental thing.
I think it goes to them not having Halo.
Then that was the next thing I was gonna say. Yeah, and I wonder how much ad spend would be if they had Halo at this.
I think you have that giant ad spend, you know, budgeted out, and I think that you lose the, and I'm not even talking shit for real. You lose the launch game, right? You lose the launch game for this console. You just back off and you wait and you do this crazy ad spend when you have it. So people have it. I mean, because think about it. It's always sound bites, right? It's always like, what is the reason to go buy this right now? And granted, Assassin's Creed Valhalla was marketed hand in hand with it, but also that was its own ad spend going on, where Assassin's Creed ads ended with Xbox Series X, right? So like, it's already kind of happening over there. Why push it then when you can push it now? Sony spend makes sense because there's so many games they're trying to promote and get into your hands and make sure you understand what this is.
Exactly. Yeah, and Halo, like right now, I've not been watching TV too consistently, and so I don't know how the ads are looking as far as these console ads. But if I had to visualize an Xbox console ad versus a PlayStation console ad, right? Like a PlayStation, I think speaks for itself as far as, oh yeah, Miles Morales, Demon Souls, Bug Snacks. You know, like the list goes on. Whereas Microsoft, I feel like, has less of that new fresh thing identity. Like it would be your third party games, it would be your Assassin's Creed Valhalla that are leading that charge.
Yeah.
As opposed to if we were living in the timeline where Halo came out this fall, like I think that would be all over the place. Like Halo would be the thing that you see at
sure.
in every Xbox ad and that would be dominating,
right?
Like billboards and all that shit.
Yeah, I think it all makes sense. And I think, yeah, you already understand that, like, how much does mindshare really matter? How much does all of it matter? It being scarce and everybody talking about it right now, it's what it goes on for. Real quick before we go to the final news item in the Twitch chat, Ambitious Casual just popped in, says Metal Gear in all caps, Metal Gear guys in all caps, Oscar Isaac is Snake, I'm crying. Well, Ambitious Casual, I'm afraid you're gonna be crying again because now you're timed out. All right, you're 58 minutes late to the show and you come in talking about the first story we talked about. Timed out. And I hope
get
you understand.
Get
it.
Him, Greg.
You understand?
Make an example. Kevin, get
there
him.
There have to be rules.
Someone.
If I'm going to be able to see the chat, and you come in this late,
yep.
Why
yep.
don't you just come in and tell me what the release date of the PlayStation 5 is? You know what I mean? Like, come on. It's over. It's done.
Harsh but fair.
Number 5 on the Roper Report. Great news. PAX is back. We're not all dead by then. This is a email from them. Pending improvement in the global COVID-19 situation and with the support and guidance of local governments and health officials, PAX East will return Thursday, June 3rd through Sunday, June 6th to the Boston Convention Center, Convention and Exhibition Center. PAX West 2021 will descend on the Washington State Convention Center in Seattle, Washington from Friday, September 3rd to Monday, September 6th. PAX Unplugged lights up the Pennsylvania Convention Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania from Friday, December 10th through Sunday, December 12th. PAX South will not take place in 2021, but organizers look forward to the show's return in 2022. Information about PAX Australia will follow in the coming weeks.
This isn't happening.
Even if it is happening, like, why is what? If the world's back to normal, which I really doubt it will be, I sincerely doubt it's going to be back to normal when we get to June, where it's like, yeah, I want everybody's getting on a plane coming here. Like, are you going to see, like, vaccines are out? Great. Are we going to have to bring vaccine records? Like, when I try to bring Portillo on an airplane, am I going to have to bring my vaccine record to show to people at PAX to get into the fucking PAX thing? Like, all that aside, June 3rd through June 6th for PAX East.
Oh, yeah, what? That's a weird time.
A week before E3? If E3's back in this weird world we're living, is E3 dead? Who the fuck knows? I know I'm just talking about a whole... Well, come on. We're not even out of 2020 yet. Numbers are going through the roof. Everybody's coming back and killing their grandmothers from Thanksgiving. Come on.
Yeah, like even if next year we get to a point where things are starting to normalize a bit with vaccines and stuff, like PAX is such a big event. And I don't think we'll be at the place by next year where we're able to have an event with thousands of people packed in to a space, like an enclosed space. I don't think we'll be there. And so maybe 2022, we'll see, but not next year.
And that's the other thing too, is even if it is open, even if they do this and local authorities and yada yada, like, do you feel comfortable going? That's the other question, right? Like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want
to. Not in a building with thousands of people packed in with each other, playing video games, sharing controllers,
eating those gross pretzels,
Convention
pizza, putting the on chicken VR fingers,
so they can demo, I don't know, Astrobot 2. No, I'm not doing that.
Oh man, is Astrobot 2 coming out next year?
Man, I hope, man. Maybe not next year.
If it does, with all due respect, I love my PlayStation VR. I hope it's not VR. I hope it's just...
Yeah. Okay, no, they put out Astrobot 2. Just put it out as a regular platformer, because that would be a masterpiece.
I know you can't wait for Astrobot 2. You know I can't wait for Astrobot 2, but Astrobot 2 is so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and pop shops. Where will we go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Dark Complete Edition is on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. Dragon Quest 11S, Echoes of an Elusive Age, Definitive Edition, Xbox, PC, and PlayStation. Duck Life Adventure on Xbox. Guntastic on Xbox. JCB Pioneer Mars on Xbox. John Wick Hex on Xbox. Nine Witches Family Disruption, Xbox, PC, Switch, and PlayStation. Ruinverse, Xbox. Shoot 1-Up DX, Xbox. Sleeping Deeply, Xbox. Steampunk Tower 2, Xbox. Commandos 2 HD Remaster is on Nintendo Switch, and technically it's out yesterday, but since we were last live, the Kratos Fortnite skin is confirmed real, and you can get it in the Fortnite item shop, just like I did. Did you buy it, Blessing?
Oh, yeah. No, I was playing with it this morning. I love the Kratos Fortnite skin.
Looks good.
Greg, with the Super Nintendo World opening in Japan,
Wahoo!
When do you think that Japan trip might happen for us? I understand us skipping 2021, but like... It's going to happen though, right? Like 2022.
Sure. I mean, let's see how the world nets out. You know what I mean? I'm down. I got to see what these monoliths are about first. Then I'll see if I'm going to get in a plane, you know, because I don't need these
things. Why are you scared of the monoliths?
I'm not scared, Kevin. I'm just saying we need to know what they are. New dates for you. The release date for season one. Yeah, the release date of season one across the new Black Ops, Cold War, and free-to-play, Warzone has been moved from December 10th to December 16th. To thank players for their continued support and patience, Treyarch will be enabling double XP and double weapon XP in Black Ops Cold War from 10 a.m. Pacific time, Saturday, December 12th, until the launch of Season 1. Meanwhile, Twinfinite reports that Valkyria Chronicles 4 will be made available on Google Stadia next week. Blessing, we ask people to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where they can get the show ad-free, write in with their questions, and write in with their squad-up requests. I read them here. People come and find them, and everybody plays games together. Today, a Kind of Funny Games Daily celebrity needs help. Jeffrey P-P-P-P-P Long writes in and needs help on Xbox. His username is Jeffrey P. Long. All the spaces there as normal. J-E-F-F-R-E-Y space P space Long. And he says... Hey, hosts. Nice clothes. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I have a little bit of a problem. I really like playing Human Fall Flat, but I already have all the achievements for it, so I don't have a reason to keep playing. If any Kind of Funny best friends need help with the achievements or just like playing around in Human Fall Flat or Gang Beasts or anything else, shoot me a friend request and let's play some games. That sounds like you. Hit up Jeffrey P. Long on Xbox. In real life, he's known as Jeffrey P-P-P-P-P-Long. Jeffrey signs off by saying, also, Kevin is doing great today. Please consider awarding him a gold star on my behalf. Jeffrey P. Long, I agree. Sweet, Kevin gets a gold star. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell you what we screwed up as we screwed it up. I'm looking through a lot of editorializing. Stuff going on here. And then this guy. No, yeah, we're nothing wrong. A few things to look into. Ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, this is your kind of funny. This is your final kind of funny games daily show for the week. Ever. We will be back on Monday. No, we're back on Monday. Still got more episodes in December. Two more weeks of kind of funny content before we knock off for holiday break until the new year with our big anniversary. Next week's hosts are right now a normal week. Monday, Blessing and Tim. Tuesday, Blessing and Imran. Wednesday, me and Gary. Thursday, me and Tim. Friday, me and Blessing. But we will see how that actually happens. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like you can. Next, after this, is going to be Screencast, where they talk the new episode of The Mandalorian. But if you want to keep following our adventures, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where we're about to do a post show about what's going on in our lives in video games. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.